Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Well, I think the word ought to be, Jesse, that every single one of these nominees needs to have a confirmation hearing as quickly as possible. My plan is to support all of them, and I would just say to my Senate colleagues, listen, let these guys testify. Give them a shot. I know some of these Senate GOP folks are saying, oh, I've got concerns. That's what a hearing is for. Don't go out and bash these people until you've at least allowed them to make their case. And listen, I mean, I think they've got momentum. I thought the meeting today with Gates went great, and it's full steam.
Well, they'll see how it goes. I mean, we do have to have all that. Normally in the past, Democrats have tried to slow walk. They really tried to slow walk Trump's nominees previously, but they were able to actually get it done relatively quickly. And so it's not even really so much it's not even a thing really anymore. It's just, I think it'll be done without any kind of issue simply because they just have the numbers to do it. They have the numbers. And that's what winning elections, that's why it's so important. That's why you want to have a major victories, because you don't want to have to fight for every vote. You don't want to have to fight for every single win. Some of this stuff, especially if it's legislation that needs to pass relatively quickly, you want to be able to get it done. So welcome to the program, Dana Loesch with you. And there's a few things we're going to get you set up, because we're going into the weird Thanksgiving, Christmas, like holiday thing. And it's where you forget like what day it is, and you forget, you know, where, like, I have so many things I have to do because we host. And so I cook and I, you know, bake and we do all that stuff. So, you know, everybody starts getting in this weird mood. Happens every year. I kind of like it though. But we'll get you set up so that you can go in to the Thanksgiving period and you're all caught up with everything. And make sure to follow us over at Substack, because it's another great way that we do that. We get you caught up with so many things and send out a lot of stuff regularly. So the one big thing that I noticed yesterday, and I kind of want to skip past all the cabinet stuff, because at this point, everybody's going to it's conjecture. Everybody's going to fight over it until they actually have the hearings. But the one thing that I do want to hit is a headline that I saw yesterday. And I thought it was very specific, because we're now getting a lot of specific stuff as it pertains to POTUS's agenda. And one of these came by way of Politico, and it has to do with Keystone XL. You remember that has been, how long has that been a fight? Golly, like for over a decade. People have been fighting for that over a decade. So this plan that's coming from the administration, it is about the energy to-do list, and on it, the POTUS, I keep wanting to say the POTUS, POTUS elect, wants to revive the Keystone XL oil pipeline on his first day back into the White House. And that's according to a number of people who are familiar with his plan, although nobody's been trying to build it anymore because, you know, Democrats killed it, which was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. So it's a 1,200-mile Canada to Nebraska, it's a pipeline for crude. He wants to put that back on the table. And he's already been talking to people in his transition team. This is the kind of stuff that I like to see leaked out, because it gets people excited. I mean, imagine you're exporting, because all of that is about bringing more energy to the world market. That is elevating the United States, not just in terms of economic security, but national security also, which they're kind of one and the same. But the POTUS elect wants to show that he can defy potatoes. Because, see, when he took office, potatoes reversed Trump's approval of the project. Trump approved it like his first year. I think it was like in his first couple of months he was approved. And all the people, the wizards who support, they think that the weather's magic. The climate people, that's what we call them. They think that regular weather patterns are magic. And that if you throw a virgin in a volcano, that'll make the volcano not erupt. It was a Garfield comic strip at one point. So they have been blocking this vociferously, as you know. But the president, they said that he's more gung-ho about this than he was the first time around. And it got approved and pushed into implementation pretty quickly the first time around. But you remember the permit for this was first rejected. Obama rejected it back in 2015. And then when POTUS-elect got into office in 2016, like, I think it was legit his first month or two, he reversed it and approved that pipeline going across the U.S.-Canada border. And then Biden comes in 21 and revokes it. And so the pipeline's developer, TC Energy, in a statement, they had this on the Keystone XL website. They confirmed back in June of 21 that, and they worked with the province of Alberta. They said that they had to terminate the project. They said that it was just, it was too much. You get the rug put underneath you, pulled it out, put it under, pulled it out. It was too much. So they said that they were going to stop the construction of it. They don't even own the system anymore. The TC Energy, which is based in Calgary, they were the ones who were owning, were going to own the whole Keystone system. And they said that the portions they've already dug up. They said that TC Energy had put in the ground some of the portions of this pipeline, and they had to, they've been dug up. So the stuff that was buried and already put in there, they've had to dig it up. So they would have to go through the local permitting projects process all over again to rebury it. It is one of the stupidest things ever, really. And to see that, I mean, it's just dumb. You used to have Canadian ships that would go to the Gulf for shipments. And the shipments of oil for Canada, they've been sky high, but they're not coming into the Gulf Coast. So you got a lot of people there that are affected. Those are a lot of jobs taken from that area. You know, that the all-important Sun Belt, which was so incredibly important to Democrats, they forgot about this stuff. People down there haven't forgotten about it. But what gets me is, remember back when we were having this debate, and this was in, 22? Because Biden approves Nord Stream 2, that pipeline, kills XL. So this is all good news. I'm very pleased about this. This is huge. This is very big news. And we need to make sure that we're top in terms of exports again with energy. Now, a few other things. There's still, I don't really want to get back into the, it seems like the, I've never seen a cycle where people obsess over the cabinet picks as much. Some of these cabinet picks, I'm going to tell you, they don't do a thing. Some of them do, actually. Some of them are just stupid. Some of them are for departments that I have no idea why we even have them anymore. But there's all kinds of, everybody's still going back and forth over Pete Hegseth, and they're trying as much as possible to tank that nomination. I think that that's a good one. He had Linda McMahon that he announced yesterday for Department of Education. We talked about that. And I think there isn't a treasury yet, correct? Yeah. We're keeping track of all of it. But they're trying to say, oh, no, now there's a sexual assault claim against Pete Hegseth. There's not. That's so stupid. Now, I'll call balls and strikes. The accusations against Hegseth are just completely dumb. They're really dumb. And I separate that stuff from the Gates stuff because those are two different things. But these are the accusations against Hegseth. I love the people that it's not until the guy's nominated that they first start talking about it, like with Pete Hegseth. The other case, that investigation's been going on for a long time. And that back and forth is with Gates's case predates any nominations. It's been going on for a while, that whole fight. But with Hegseth, how is it that, only now somebody wants to come and say something after he's been nominated to head of DOD? The timing always is super suspect to me. But I think he's actually going to go through. And all of this is in vain. They're talking about Mike Rogers. They said, he has a history of feeding into Russiagate and FISA spying. There was a big piece over at Daily Caller about he's running to be the FBI pick if Chris Wray is jettisoned out of that office. And they said, he's got a history of propagating Russiagate and supporting FISA surveillance. He's a leading contender. This is a big, big old nasty piece Daily Caller has on him today. They said he served as the Republican representative, you guys remember, back in 2015. And then he hosted a CNN program called Declassified, and it was looking at American intel. And he's worked with a lot of groups, they say, that are friendly with the intel community and perpetuated the Russiagate scandal against POTUS. He ran for Senate and lost to Democrat Alyssa Slotkin. And they said that he's not always been a stalwart supporter, and that he was actually advising a group that previously promoted Russian election interference, that whole narrative. And he's, but he has the president's endorsement now. So the 2017, the association that he had with a group, and that was when Russiagate and all of that stuff was like at, has ascended to its highest point. He was apparently, there was this group called German Marshall Fund, and it was part of the Alliance for Securing Democracy. And I guess it, he was one of the advisors who worked alongside them. It included Bill Kristol, Jake Sullivan, this one foreign policy advisor that used to work with Hillary Clinton is involved in it. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions about this guy. And less so than whether or not he gets along with Trump. I do think it's, if you're advising a group that has Jake Sullivan on, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. Was he advising the group because he was supposed to be a Republican slash conservative voice as a way to temper the leftists that were advising the group? Or was he advising the group because they picked him so they could say that they had a bipartisan group advising them, when really he actually may be closer to Jake Sullivan than some of Trump's foreign policy advisors? I don't know. I think it's worth a question. This is why we have hearings, though. This is why we have these investigations and all of this. But also, I'm starting to see the fight between the factions in Trump world emerge. Just like you saw Epstein get really mad, and I think he leaked on Musk, but he got real mad about Musk. I think somebody's been doing this too. So there's like a faction in that group that doesn't like Mike Rogers. And then of course the president's endorsed him for previous races. He's apparently in the running to take over for Chris Ray. So there's some stuff there. That movement, I'm going to tell you, that movement needs to be very careful, because one of the worst things, and we saw this with the Tea Party, I always told people, you cannot have a head of a movement, because you need to have the starfish as opposed to the spider approach. If you cut the head off a spider, what happens? The whole thing dies. You cut a leg off a starfish, it can grow it back. You, there's really not, one leg is not the centralization of all of the of the entire movement. That's the approach you have to have. And movements that are built around sole individuals or entities or personalities have to be careful, because in 4 years, he's going to be termed out. What does the movement do then? And it's very tough, if you, as you've seen, to transpose that level of enthusiastic support onto any other candidate. It doesn't translate. So what happens? So that's just something, as I watch these different factions on the right fight, that's just something that kind of sticks in my head.
If you don't have great credit, could a Trump policy cancel your credit card? Trump and Bernie want to collaborate on capping credit card interest rates. But credit card debt is a non-recourse loan. They can't repossess your dinner or your vacation. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court blasts Democrats for ignoring state law in the U.S. Senate recount. John Fetterman rips Nancy Pelosi for shoving Joe Biden out of the 2024 campaign. And Joe and Mika tried to make up with Trump after 8 years of demonizing him. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, research finds that you can absorb nutrients and vitamins from fresh air. Are you serious? They took research for this? This had to be research. My granny could have told you all this. So, apparently, they say if you can absorb nutrients from the air. It's an article published in Advances in Nutrition. And they call the inhaled nutrients aeronutrients, to differentiate them from the gastronutrients that are absorbed by the gut. It's just so dumb. We know this, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone who didn't know it?
Just like we absorb nutrients, we absorb also the smog and everything
else. All this stuff that you put on yourself, like lotion, your moisturizer, ladies, like dudes, your beard stuff. You absorb it. You know, that's why I think that the men should use, like, on their beards and mustaches, like anything that smells like, bay leaf. Oh, I love that. Because it reminds me of eating like fried fish and lobster, and it's real good, and it just is just yummy. You know, I'm like, I smell it, and I'm like, that's a meal. It smells like a meal on your face. That's a meal. Not, it's not a bad smell. You can't ever have too much bay leaf, you know what I mean? All right, so don't know where that went. California voters rejected a ballot measure to increase the state's minimum wage. They did. They were smart because they're broke. Wait until you hear about the gas in California. Oh, I got a story about that coming up. Yeah, they voted to reject it. They're done, I feel like, in Florida, in California. Parents fury. A 7-year-old boy is hanged in a school bathroom by a 4th-grade bully. That's horrible. The 7-year-old has been left traumatized. He's been being bullied at school at the C. Paul Barnhart Elementary School in Waldorf, Maryland. He was injured and ended up at the hospital. He ended up with his jacket stuck on a hook in the bathroom stall. And the culprit, a 4th grader, ran for help after the kid started having trouble breathing. The principal had to free him and call 911. They said that the boy was foaming at the mouth and unconscious. He was diagnosed with a neck contusion, which is caused by trauma to the neck. And the family's questioning how the 2nd grader's family's questioning how this incident unfolded. And yeah, that's the 4th grader culprit needs to have his ass beat. If I was that parent, I would whoop him in front of the school. And then be like, you want to be bullied? I'm going to show you what a bully does. We don't do that. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners over at Preborn, they do so much to save lives. Preborn is such a great organization. And they talk about saving the lives of babies. And they fight every day to protect babies and support mothers and to meet mothers where they are and give them the opportunity to choose life, to hear their baby's heartbeat. But they don't just stop there. They commit to these women. I mean, going up into the toddler years, they are there with maternity needs, helping with their children, diapers, all of that stuff. And your partnership with Preborn makes that possible. And so there's Giving Tuesday is on the 26th. Of November. It's coming up. And Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation where abortion is rising to help more hurting women and save more babies. So if you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? A gift that reaches eternity. And one ultrasound, for instance, it's just $28. And one $140 donation will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. It's tax deductible. A $15,000, that places an ultrasound machine in a women's center that needs one. And it saves countless babies for years to come. So join with them, partner with them, because this is the way to really fight for life. And the fact that they partner with these women and they're there for the ultrasound and beyond is so significant. Join Preborn in the fight for life and visit preborn.com/Dana to donate. Or you can dial #250 or #250 and say the keyword baby. We need to reach the goal of 1,500 ultrasound sponsorships. And with your help, we can make it happen. That's preborn.com/Dana or dial pound or #250 keyword baby.
If you don't have great credit, could a Trump policy cancel your credit card? The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. Trump and Bernie want to collaborate on capping credit card interest rates. But credit card debt is a non-recourse loan. They can't repossess your dinner or your vacation. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. I got some breaking news now. It just came out. Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name from nomination for attorney general. He said in a statement that his selection was, quote, becoming a distraction to the work of the Trump-Vance transition. And he said there was no time to waste on a protracted Washington scuffle. He says he's withdrawing his name from consideration to serve as attorney general. So this just now breaking, and if you're just joining us, breaking news, Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name from consideration as attorney general. Very interesting. And I like to put everything out on the table. Like I said, I have this theory about normally when people talk about 4D chess and they're talking about Trump, sometimes they make fun of it. And they're always like, everyone always says it's 4D chess and all this. I'm going to be honest with you. I actually think this case legitimately was. Now, hear me out. I am not getting into the evidence. I know what I know, and I know what people have said. I have one friend who is a very like-minded person who works in the media in DC. So they're like a unicorn. And which is why I don't want to necessarily say their name, because I like for them to get stuff about people. But they write the stories you like to read. But I will say there was a lot of stuff that was said about the gate. I didn't see anything myself. All I know is the stuff that I've heard from people that normally would not engage in hyperbole or gossip like that. Because I don't like fueling the rumor mill. But there was smoke there. And whether there was fire or how much fire apparently was in some of that ethics committee report. And I'm not asking you to make a decision on Gates or not. I mean, that's up to you whether or not you believe him or not. But I just think that when we talk about, you know, the issue of 4D chess, I really feel like Trump was doing that here, because my gut feeling is that there's a reason, maybe why, I don't know. It just all looks very, I get very Occam's razor about this, because there was this fight with this ethics report and this investigation into him has predated this by years. This has gone on for a very long time. This was the entire reason of the Gates-McCarthy fight. It was the entire reason to putting Mike Johnson in the House Speaker seat. It was because Gates wanted to punish McCarthy because he wanted this investigation to go away. And if you remember, the DOJ and the people who were investigating this had said that the reason that charges were not pursued, or charges were not, he wasn't charged, was that the one thing that they lacked was the complete, absolute, you know, ironclad evidence that he knew that these women were underage, or that this woman was underage. And it had to do with taking someone who allegedly was underage, reportedly taking someone who was allegedly underage across state lines, because that's like it could be a trafficking thing. So apparently that's what this all centered around. And what the DOJ said was they couldn't prove that he knew that the individual was underage. So it doesn't make some of the occurrences in this story untrue. And it doesn't mean that the issue didn't happen. It's that was there a rock solid way for them to prove that he was aware or unaware that this person was underage. And apparently that's what they couldn't do, and that's why they didn't charge him. That's according to the DOJ. And apparently there's more in the ethics report that the House was going to release, because when he was in the House, he was under the purview of the House Ethics Committee. And so when he dropped that seat and resigned that seat, then he was no longer under their purview and thus kind of immune from them getting at him. So that's, and to me, the timing of it is very interesting. Now, the reason I keep going back to the 4D chess is there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of, you hear rumors back and forth. I hear stuff constantly, and I, you know, there's stuff that I just don't take to air because I think it's silly, stupid, or unfounded. But this would be a really Machiavellian thing to do, and I am a major, I love history, and I am a major fan of Machiavelli. This case and this Trump's actions here, and I'm trying to put it in a way that it's like super easily understood. I feel as though maybe Trump and some of the stuff I've heard, maybe he was aware of this case, whether it was true or not, it was a problem, and it was going to, you know, be a problem. It's going to gum up the machine, so to speak, right? Maybe he was aware of it. Maybe he felt that, you know, Gates was loyal to him. But however, this was also going to be an anchor on his administration right out of the gate. And so then he's trying to stand by Gates without losing any political capital, or making it seem as though he's turned on someone who was loyal to him. And then the public is going to do what it does, and the process is going to do what it does, and then it's ultimately going to resolve itself. So he doesn't lose anything. And he still is viewed as supporting someone who had been loyal to him. That's why I say this is 4D chess. Because if someone was going to be a problem for you and you wanted to get rid of them politically, this is what I would have done. I'm just saying. If I wanted to get someone out of the House to stop all the fights and the drama, I'm just saying, I'm just speculating here. If I was looking at simplifying and streamlining things in the House more, and I also wanted to kind of solve a problem that may come back on me because of my association with someone, I would immediately put them up for a position where they would not be able to withstand the public scrutiny and they would excuse themselves. That's exactly what I would do. And then you look like, wow, I really like this person and I'm rewarding them for their loyalty. So I put them up for this position and it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Hey, I liked them. I put them up for the position. So you don't lose anything having done that. That's why I say this is 4D chess. And I really think that that's what was done. That's my perspective on it. That's my perspective. A lot of people who I think are on the Republican side, who maybe don't like Trump, will say that they feel as though he might be business smart but dumb everywhere else. I don't think that that's true, their perspective, because I don't think this is something that you would, this is kind of a boardroom move. It's not just a political move. This is a very boardroom move. And so that's why I think you're going to give him a little bit more credit for this. Am I too into the tinfoil on this, Kane? Thoughts? Honestly, this is legit what I would do exactly.
No, we talked about this even off the air like a week or so ago on this possibility. And it made sense to me because if that is something you wanted to do, I just couldn't see where Trump saw the vulnerabilities in Gates because he's been so steadfast in supporting that pick. So that's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me as far as trying to figure this out. In realms of 4D chess. But yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
So now who becomes AG? That is the question now. You know, somebody who I would say, but I don't want them to leave the Senate because we stop it. You know what I'm talking about right now. I wouldn't put this person up because the reason I wouldn't put this person up is because it's not a completely, totally solid red district. And it still was a slugfest, although he won by a pretty big margin. It depends on the candidate, and Missouri can go either way. Is Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt would be a fabulous AG, but he's in the Senate. We cannot pull him out of the Senate because you could lose that seat. There's a good chance you could lose that seat. And we have a super narrow majority in the Senate. We can't do that. But he would, I'm just saying he would be a really good pick, I think anyway. But I'm trying to think who else, you know, would we have some of these.
Say Ken Paxton, if he'd be up for it.
No, because I want him in Texas.
I know.
They can come and fight me. No, you can't have him, POTUS-elect. You can't. So stop it. We need him in Texas. All the stuff that's in Texas. Oh, my gosh.
That'll be your argument for every good AG.
No, he can have him when Paxton can, like, I don't know, take a piece of hair and put it in a jar and have it grow. Like, you can grow one of those sponge people. Grow a sponge person version of himself to be, and then send that person over. I don't know. No, you don't get to have. You just can't take him.
I don't know.
Come and take it.
I'm saying that's a great pick for the country is what it would be.
I don't care right now. I want him to stay here because, hi, have you seen the border? And he's been like, yeah, I think property taxes got to go. What? Don't lose this man. You got to keep Paxton in Texas at all costs. I'm just saying, no. All right, so I don't know who else. This is going to be a fun game of who. Now, here's where lawyer Twitter kicks into gear. And then people who aren't lawyers but who want to join lawyer Twitter, it's hysterical to me. But we're going to see this. We're going to see this go in. So we'll see. We don't know. But he met the Senate. He met with the Senate yesterday. And I'm just saying, it's just, I don't know, Occam's razor. But I have a 4D chess. I feel like that's the most likely thing here. That is the most likely thing. And I'll say that right now, and I'll just put that on the table and keep that as it is right now. Now, some of the other stuff we got to get into, too, is the ICC stuff. Did you see this? One of the reasons I bring this up, what the ICC does, is because we help fund it. Yeah. Oh, I know. You're totally shocked. The U.S. just is out there, Uncle Sam and everybody. It's ridiculous. So the ICC has issued arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and an ex-defense minister and a Hamas leader. So they literally put them in there with Hamas. They said that there was reason to believe that Netanyahu and former defense minister Gallant have used starvation as a method of warfare. But only one Hamas person they charged? What about using rape as a method of warfare? What about using torture as a method of warfare? And Hamas has also been engaged in starvation. Hi, have you seen all of the ones that have been rescued and then the vanity serving trades that Hamas is engaged in, and they're starved and they're beaten, but the ICC says nothing about that. The ICC is nothing but a bunch of demonic trolls. That's all they are. They're a bunch of demonic trolls. And it's sad that we support so much of it. Like, we give them this, like, validity by participating. You know that Chuck Schumer, I was looking at this. This is an older story. Chuck Schumer had blocked in the Senate passage of sanctions against the ICC for, like, the past year. He has literally enabled them. Chuck Schumer is part of the reasons that the ICC was enabled to issue these stupid warrants against Israel's leaders for them defending themselves. Because he kept blocking the sanctions. That's just wild. Absolutely wild. But they issued these warrants. And but they're conflating them with Hamas. It's just, they're not the same. They're not even remotely the same. And they're criminalizing self-defense. All of this, again, was started because of Hamas. We have a lot more to touch on, even more on that. But we're also going to get into some of the stupid stuff with California, because they are already preparing Gavin Newsom. But do you know, did you hear what they've done with their businesses? The businesses were on, small businesses in California were unaware that they had essentially co-signed a federal loan. And that was to help with California's budget shortfall. Wait until you hear about this story. It is wild. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You know what's in the air, Whoopi?
What's
Trumpism. We lost the election. Wait a minute. We lost the election. We're miserable. Half of this country is miserable. And let's just tell the truth. We hate that he won. We hate it. And everybody's uptight and crazy right now.
Well, is there ever a day where she, like, doesn't need my doll?
No.
Well, at least she's honest. But she's like that regardless of whether Trump wins or loses, or it doesn't matter. She's just mad. However, she's always mad. She's always and forever angry. But at least she's being honest about it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, just saying. I don't know. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Gates withdrawing his name from consideration. People keep saying, well, what about Ken Paxton? Stop trying to take Ken Paxton. Come and take him. Come and take him. Come try. Just smack your hands. Stop it. We got a lot of stuff happening in Texas. You go get your own. Stop it. I don't know. Some people are saying that Gates is going to be appointed senator. I seriously doubt that. First off, that is dumb. Now, I'm not saying you're dumb. I just think that's a dumb strategy from him. First off, Gates and DeSantis don't get along. At least from my perspective, Gates has, like, attacked him before, and he's criticized the Disney stuff and this, and he's done some things where I just don't think it makes sense. You can't sit here and look, you can't sit here and go with someone and then turn around and be like, can I get a favor from you? That's just not how it works. Doesn't work that way. And also, I don't like to reward people who are short-sighted. And I don't feel like Gates is a good tactician. I think he's a horrible strategist. He is not good with tactics. The speaker fight was just further proof of it. Doing this, resigning your seat, Which makes me think, what was he so afraid of in the House Ethics Report? I'm sorry, but it doesn't add up to me, and I'm not going to feel bad about saying it. It just doesn't add up to me. I'm not going to stick my head in the ground just because the guy's got an R past his name. Something doesn't add up. Why are, I mean, this, it looks like you're trying to get away from the purview of the House Ethics Committee. So if he goes to the Senate, guess what? Then Chuck Schumer and John Thune, they get their way and they get their hands on that House report because they have to. If he would be nominated for the Senate, which is not going to happen, but if he was going to be nominated for that Marco Rubio Senate seat, then guess what? The Senate gets the ethics report that it's been demanding. That's not going to happen. So no, he's not going to go for the Senate seat. It's just not a move that he's going to make. I'm just saying. It's a little weird, right? I mean, we like science. We're the people who are like, the science says that the masks don't do anything. The science says that the shots don't do anything, right? That's what logic, science, and common sense all said. Common sense and logic say, why are you like so like trying to get away from the House ethics thing? I'm not saying the dude's guilty. I'm just asking why he's trying to so hard get away from this. Because fights don't matter. If it's a fight worth having, Trump's going to have the fight. He will have the fight all day long. We know this. It's just odd. I'm just saying, like, this is why I go back to my original position. I think this is some 4D chess. I've never said that about this administration, incoming administration. I've never been one of the people to use that term, but I actually think that that's what this is this time. Just saying. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of this and also some of the other things that have been happening, the ICC and immigration and what they're doing in California. As they're trying to get Gavin Newsom already, they're trying to get him set up for 2028. Wait until you hear about some of this stuff, what small business owners are being demanded, what's being demanded of them right now in this state. Stick with us. The folks who help bring you this program, so you're not paying a subscription fee, Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And you can enjoy exceptional nationwide coverage in all three major networks. Switch to Patriot Mobile and support what matters. You can also get their Every Friday Matters special today. They're giving away a brand new smartphone when you make the switch. And it's super easy to do. Seamless switching with their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy. You can keep your number, get a new one. It's all up to you. And you'll get that free smartphone as a part of the special offer. You have to use promo code Friday to take advantage of it. It has never been simpler to switch and work with a company that supports you. So do it today. It's a free smartphone. Offers eligible only with promo code Friday. This is a limited time offer or until the supplies run out. Terms and conditions apply. So make the switch. I did over a decade ago. You can make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972Patriot. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour, and we've been covering all of the latest. We got some breaking news that came out last hour. Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his name from consideration for attorney general. And the president-elect has also issued a statement, a little short statement, saying that it was great. You know, he was doing very well, etc. He didn't want to gum it up, basically. And I find it all very interesting. So welcome back. If you're joining us, we're talking about that breaking news with Gaetz withdrawing his name. You can listen coast to coast, obviously. Channel 347 as well, DirecTV, Rumble, where the chat happens. X, YouTube, Facebook. Find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Send out stuff there regularly. Like I said, and I've had a lot of people ask me about, they're asking me to explain this. So we were talking about this last hour. A lot of people I've heard them use the phrase and say that that something that Trump does is 4D chess, right? Oh, it's 4D chess. He's doing 4D chess. Some of them say it mockingly. Some of them say it seriously. And as I've said, I lean towards thinking that this was actual 4D chess. And here's why. As some of the things that I've said on X, and then we've published some things like about this on Substack, it seems as though getting away from this ethics report is the thing, right? Because the House Ethics Committee was going to release this report that looked at Gaetz's background and these accusations that he was basically trafficking underage women and doing all this with these, you know, teen girls and, you know, whatever the story is, and I don't even know all the details. I do know that the DOJ never said that there wasn't anything like this that existed. What they said is that they didn't bring charges because they couldn't prove that Gates was aware that they were underage. So that is a very important distinction that I need everybody to realize. And I'm not, again, I'm not giving you anything other than what we know. And I'm not even, I don't even know if I believe it or not. But what I am saying is that the DOJ, and in fact, all the way that they've talked about it, no one's ever actually denied any of this. The DOJ merely said that they couldn't bring charges because they couldn't prove that he knew the girls were underage. So not that it didn't happen, that they just couldn't prove that he knew they were underage. So that's a significant difference in some of the way the narrative is going. But regardless, if this is trying to avoid the House ethics report, then he's also not going to go for Rubio's Senate seat because Jonathan and Chuck Schumer have wanted that House ethics report. And they need a reason to get it. So if Gates were to be nominated for Rubio's seat, which is not going to happen, but if he were, then that gives Thune and Schumer the reason they need to get that committee. He's not made any overtures towards that Senate seat either, by the way, which further makes me think this is about the ethics report. And we don't even know what all is in the ethics report. It may be more than just the one story we've been talking about. We don't know. And I'm explaining all this to you to better give you an idea of why I think this is actual 4D chess, not on deep state, but on behalf of POTUS elect. I feel as though people who are in the inner circle there and people who are in DC, no one is unaware of these allegations. They have been well known for a very long time, these stories. And it's the reason why this investigation was started against him in the first place. It is literally the reason why he and McCarthy have fought for as long as they have. He wanted McCarthy to make this report go away. McCarthy declined, and that's why he launched the changing of the House Speaker. And then you ended up getting someone that was just as moderate, but had even less seniority. So that's the history of that. I feel as though he was always publicly very loyal or you know, took positions that were loyal to POTUS elect. But if POTUS elect was aware of these allegations and there was any concern about the House Ethics Committee, you know, Trump can't just go out and say, okay, Gates has got to go, because that's a bad optic. One of the things that he prides himself on is loyalty and being loyal to people who are loyal to you, right? So he can't just go out publicly and say that he can't have Gates, etc. The best way to get Gates out of the way, and as I said last hour, this is what I would do if I was in the situation and I needed to clean up my house, so to speak, or the house, is nominate him for a position you know he's not going to get, because you know he's not going to get confirmed. And not just because of his own chosen poor relationships with other lawmakers, regardless of whether you like him or not. He didn't get along with everybody. That's a fact. You kind of have to when you're going for these roles, even if you're a stalwart conservative. Like Mike Lee gets along with everyone, right? But he doesn't compromise principle. Knows he's not going to get the seat or get confirmed. Nominates him anyway, and then lets the public and the process do what they do. Take care of it for you, right? Let them handle it for you. And then you can stand back. Look, I'm being loyal to the guy. I picked him for the seat. It's tough. Tough stuff that it didn't work out. You know, he's doing very well. Tough stuff. And then you go on. It's a brilliant move. It's literally the exact same thing I would do. If I was in the position where I needed to get rid of somebody that was causing me problems but hadn't taken a stance against me publicly, that's what I would do. So now he's out of the House. They can get someone, and it's a solid red district. They're going to get someone just as, you know, that's what Gates' people said, and it is. It's a solid red district. They can get someone who is equally MAGA right in that seat, so you're not losing anything. They're going to have a special election for it. And I don't know what Gates is going to do, but the Senate thing, because it seems like it's, you know, if it's about that ethics report, then they're not going to give the Senate a reason to get it. Because the moment he would accept any kind of appointment to the Senate, then he falls under their purview of Senate ethics. And then this report, they would absolutely get it. And then it's all public. And I feel like there's some avoiding of the report that's going on here. So it seems like. And I'm just telling you what I see. But I don't think that he's going to get the appointment of that Senate seat for a number of reasons. It's just stupid strategy. It just awards bad strategy. You know, you don't narrow by resigning. You don't narrow the majority by resigning your House seat before the greater certainty of your confirmation. You know what I mean? None of these other people that have been nominated, they haven't resigned anything yet. They don't have to. You don't need to make the show of doing that. You don't even have to make it immediately. So that's what I thought was weird. And then you don't award bad strategy by giving someone the favor of being appointed to another elected seat. And also, I don't think Gates and DeSantis have gotten along. So you can't expect after you, if you've gone at anybody publicly, you can't turn around and ask them for a favor. It doesn't work that way. Because remember, especially in Gates' universe, loyalty is the thing, right? So this is how I'm laying it out. I'm just laying it out here. I'm not telling you to take a position on whatever is in the ethics report. I'm just telling you what I see. But I do think it's actual 4D chess on behalf of POTUS, not deep state. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that's happening here. A lot of movement. Now, that being said, a couple of other things to touch on here. We were talking about the ICC and all of that a little earlier. I wanted to tell you about this crazy California story because this is just, I'm behind on this and I really wanted to get to it. I first saw it from our friend Chef Gruhl. He owns a restaurant out in Los Angeles. And he had said, we just ran payroll. The payroll taxes were $2,000 higher than calculated. We called the payroll company. They explained in summary that California has a budget shortfall and that the federal government wants money back that it lent California for UI that it lost. They're making up for it by having business owners pay it. Keep in mind that it was about 10% of our total payroll. And when people say, he adds, why isn't California business friendly? Remember this. So the state defaulted on their loan. And apparently businesses were the co-signers and they were unaware of it. This is one of the craziest things. So they had this $18.5 billion federal loan that was supposed to be for UI, unemployment insurance, right? And so because they've had all these financial difficulties, they apparently signed on. They had these business owners, all these business owners. They did not know that they were co-signers on this loan. It was the unemployment insurance that was supposed to cover California during the pandemic, right? And when the state decided to stop making payments on the loan, that's when these businesses were hit with us. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life. Their payroll taxes, 2,000 times higher than calculated. That's nuts. That is nuts. They did not know. I mean, remember, they had a bad IT system that appropriated and distributed these funds from the Employment and Development Department. And they were one of the states that had some of the highest levels of fraud with getting these funds. So they said they had somebody who impersonated a 1-year-old, someone who impersonated Dianne Feinstein, $30 billion in fraudulent unemployment claims during the pandemic. And they said a single residential address got checks for up 60 separate individuals filing from that one singular address. So they had a $100 billion state budget surplus last year because of the state's top earners. They got $27 billion in federal aid for the pandemic. They had a $300 billion plus 2022-2023 budget. All of this could have gone into dealing with this debt. And even after they defaulted, they could have still paid off and offset the burden on businesses. That's what they were planning on doing in their 23-24 budget. But now they're making businesses do this with these taxes. I can't even imagine. You're a business and that happens to you. And Chef Gruhl, he's in the restaurant industry and it's already tough in the food industry. It's even tough. It's still tough for restaurants. They haven't entirely bounced back, I think. Some of them have. Some of them haven't. By and large, I don't think you can say universally the majority of them have. But this is wild. You know the system that helped them to default on this because it allowed all these fraud payments? It's from the 80s, Kane. The software is over 50 years old. That's the, hang on, that's the, I'm going to get this right, the Employment and Development Department. The software literally is over 50 years old, and the IT system is from the 80s. And they've said that their IT people tried patching the system. They tried fixing it for years, and they couldn't. They said it's just inadequate. They got a grant in 2013 from the Obama administration, and they were supposed to get this new software. And the software cost $2 million a year.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to be a very effective software that, quote, searches over databases and uses proprietary AI algorithms to identify fraud and abuse. And they discontinued its use in 2016 for some reason. The grant, it was $2 million. Well, the reason they couldn't continue it is because the grant ran out. It's $2 million a year to run it. I'm not even kidding you. This is the stupidest thing. It's like, it is like a knot of yarn trying to get through this. This is crazy. So wait, you're telling me that you switched to this software that's $2 million a year and then you have to discontinue it because the grant money came out? No one anticipated that that would happen? Are you telling me that no one in EDD in California anticipated that they would run out of money knowing that they had a certain amount of funds for a grant to implement the system and it cost X amount per year? Really? No. So now that's what's happening in California. It is one of the craziest things. How do people live there? I don't know. The weather, that's not good enough for me. The folks over at Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned, veteran-employed. They hire veterans in active duty as well. And Black Rifle Coffee is just the best coffee that is out there. And it's so good. And right now, the Freedom Roast, if the founders were alive today, they would drink the Freedom Roast from Black Rifle Coffee, America's Coffee. It's a smooth, medium roast. It offers sweet, tasty notes of milk and milk chocolate and vanilla, complemented by a hint of cinnamon with a buttery finish. Every sip is a celebration of liberty and a tribute to those who fought for our nation. I feel like Matt Best wrote the first part of this. But it's true. It is so good. It's such a smooth roast, and it's full of flavor. And you can save 20% using code Dana. It's available in ground, whole bean, 12-count rounds. And subscribe to Black Rifle's Coffee Club so you can get free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep. You get the convenience of always having your favorite brew on hand without the need for last-minute trips. And it serves, Black Rifle Coffee is all about serving premium coffee to people who love America. So again, you got whole bean K-cups ready to drink. Don't forget about the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Check out the kettles, grinders, mugs, and more apparel. Everything you need, and then some. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. Taste other top shelf roasts like Just Black and Silence or Smooth. But whatever you decide, you're going to get 20% off using code Dana anyway. So 20% off code Dana only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Walmart is saying that prices are going to get more expensive. They're talking about the tariffs. They're like trying to saber-rattle about this. And I mean, I think there's a lot. We're going to talk more about this as we get closer towards, you know, January and the new administration. And but they're expressing concern, apparently Walmart, that the president-elect, his tariff proposal is going to impact consumers' wallets. They don't want to raise prices, they say, but they're warning people that it may happen. We're going to talk more about this coming up, but that's just the latest from Walmart. This Italian village is offering, there's a million of these villages that are doing this. They're saying if you're trying to leave the country, like for instance, if you're upset about the election, come here and you can buy a house for a dollar. But there's a lot of caveats attached to it because the building materials, usually you have to spend X amount to rehab your property. And you have to do it in a certain time. Otherwise, it's all forfeit. Yeah. But there's some Italian villages. They're saying over at ABC, they're like, some of these villages are offering, you know, accommodation. And you can stay here and you get your house all fixed up or your property fixed up. But there's always a catch. And then to say nothing about the taxes over there. I mean, I love Italy, but the taxes are kind of crazy. I didn't realize this... So apparently Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they both have their homes burglarized, and the authorities are investigating it, but they're saying that it looks like this wasn't just like a random, even it was both of them break-ins, that it was a very sophisticated, kind of like a cartel of people doing this. So the FBI is involved now. They said it's a very sophisticated crime group, and it's part of a spree of robberies in the Kansas City area. Very interesting. So, ooh. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time. Didn't the Bling Ring, wasn't that like kind of the same thing? Yeah. So they're saying it's so the FBI is investigating it. A Michigan medical examiner is urging hunters to get checkups after three so far where they died. They died from heart attacks. So the medical examiner is saying, go undergo a doctor's evaluation before you come out. And so that, you know, in the wild, in search of game, because they said that, you know, you want to, and they said that these are preventable. Just make sure that you're healthy because you don't want to, you know, be out there in the woods and then go through this and et cetera. And it's very interesting. He was also talking about cardiac disease in people that he had not seen it before unless they were elevated in age. He said, for instance, I'm seeing cardiac disease in arteries that I only saw 20 years ago in 65 to 7-year-olds. Now I'm seeing it in 40 to 45-year-olds. That's wild. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. The latest with the cabinet picks. AG, we've got culture, so much more. I'm always going to tell people to carry, and I'm always going to tell you it's good to train, and I have zero hesitancy at all whatsoever to use lethal force on anyone who's posing a threat to me or my family. There are also instances where I can't carry because I'm barred, whether it's a gun-free zone sign or a gun-free zone area. And I always, because of the nature of my work, don't have the luxury of just saying, I'm not going to go here. I'm just going to skip out on this for today, because I would actually get in trouble with my job if I did that on a regular basis. So there are options. And I took inspiration from some of my friends who've done it. They've gotten the Byrna SD. So that's the most popular selling model of the Byrna gun. It's a non-firearm firearm. And you can take it anywhere. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. But what it does is that you can fire off chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And when you compare it to like an ordinary stun gun, you got like maybe 1 to 2 rounds with that. You have 5 rounds with the Byrna SD, and there's no waiting period. There's no background checks. Like I said, it's legal in all 50 states, doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. And it allows for you to diversify your defensive options without just going without defense entirely. And I think that's incredibly, incredibly important. I mean, there's not really a recoil situation with this, but it's a good option for people who are barred from actually carrying anywhere else. I've got friends who use this in New York and D.C. So to learn more about it, and I highly suggest that you do, you can go and see everything that they offer. They have different models. Like I said, the SD is the most popular. Check out all your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. And we're here at the bottom of the second hour. And of course, make sure you find us at Substack, YouTube, Facebook, all those good things. I'm just going to tell you right now, people need to stop talking about Ken Paxton. Not that I don't like him. You just can't get him. No, he's got to stay in Texas. Someone said one thing to me on X about it. And now everyone's like, yo, what do you think about Ken? Leave him alone. Come and take him. No. We got issues in Texas, Kane. We got issues here. Things and stuff.
But like I said, if you're going to say that about every good AG, we can't put up any good AGs.
No, just ours. Go get some.
I know,
but
think about this. Andrew Bailey in Missouri.
He doesn't want to leave Missouri right now. He's got little bitty kids.
What do you say? You know this? Has he said this to
you?
Yeah,
I've actually talked to him.
He said those words to you?
Literally.
Well, this is breaking news.
No, it's not.
You should put it up. You don't think Andrew Bailey would want to be the AG?
It's not an issue of him wanting to be the AG. Is it the best time for him and his family? He's got a very young family.
That's fair.
He's got like a whole gaggle of kids, man.
He does.
He's a good
AG, and Missouri would be losing out if he went to the national stage like that.
Yeah.
Just like Ken Paxton.
They need him in Missouri right now, too. I think he's got really good instincts, Andrew Bailey. By the way, I got to tell you, I've had dinner with him before. A group of us, we got together. I think it was where were we at? We were at some event. I think it was down in Knoxville. And really good guy. And you know how you can get, I am one of the skills that I have in that I can tie like a multitude of knots. I don't know how that is possible. I can't. It's like a skill. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
Okay.
And that's a skill set that I have. I can be really good at. The other thing is being able to tell someone's character. I am like a human I'm a human thermometer. I can tell someone's, take the temp and tell somebody's character within like 60 seconds of meeting them. It's weird. It's not, it's just about observing them. It's not like any kind of, I'm not saying it's supernatural. It's just like, it's like Sherlock level observances. I'm not as smart as I'm making myself out to be with this. I'm just giving you, it's a skill set. I've never been wrong. I have never been wrong about anybody. Even, you know, my husband will say it, Kane will say it. And they're like, you might be weird on a lot of stuff, but on this, we'll give it to you because this is true. It is. And when I met with Andrew Bailey, whenever I meet with elected officials, one of the first things that I like to kind of measure from their demeanor is if they're corruptible. So if they sit down, and you can tell when somebody's being on their good behavior and suppressing their natural behavior, and whether they're just being relaxed in who they are. So the people that he has with them are guys that he's known since he was like in high school. And they went into law and they went into policy and served in the military and all of that because he served. And he's got a really solid group around him. And so he had two of his friends slash people that work with him. And it's not a nepotism thing. I mean, they earn their keep. They are really good at what they do. And they came out. We were there with the mayor of Knoxville. Oh, yes. Also known as Kane. Mayor of Knoxville. And it was a nice dinner. Our friend Instapundit was there. And he was a really down-to-earth guy. You could just tell from his demeanor. He's not someone that is used to the K Street kind of stuff. He's kind of a legal nerd, but he's really good with people. He's a unicorn in that he is a legal nerd, but he's also not so nerdy that he can actually talk to people. That's Ted Cruz's biggest downfall. Ted Cruz, and I don't say this as like a mean way of saying it, he's just a dork. He's a legal dork. And I think his shortcoming is that he gets too cerebral and he can't get outside of his own head. And it makes it really hard for him to connect to people. And Bailey can do both. And that's a rarity. It's a rarity to be able to do both. And our friend Andrew McCarthy, who's the legal eagle, he's a legal nerd, but he's also really good at being able to connect with people. But he really is a family man. And he realizes that the future is very bright for him. But it doesn't mean anything unless what he goes home to is secure first. And I think he's got all of his priorities right. And I remember I remarked to my husband after we left dinner, I was like, he's a real one. I rarely say that about these lawmakers. He is legitimately a real one. I think Eric Schmidt is also. And they're both from Missouri. It's a Missouri thing, you know. There are some politicians that I like, and I'll tell you they're good folks. But I get the sense with some of them it's a put on. Doesn't mean they're not allies, but there's only a handful of times that I've had an experience with a lawmaker where I thought, you really are like uncorrupted by DC right now. You really are. Like, this is you. This is you before Jimmy's, you know, before Mr. Smith goes to Washington. This is you. And I think that he's really well rooted because he's got his core team around him. He's got a really good family life. So when I say, and we talked about it, because you know how I am, I'll immediately ask somebody, so what are you going to do after this? What's after this? What's after this? And he made it really clear. He's like, you know, I have a young family, and we're very secure and we're very happy in Missouri. So he didn't really, it's not that he isn't against taking those positions. He just understands what the importance of his priorities are right now. And I really respect that. I got a lot of respect for that. It kind of makes me want him to do it. But at the same time, you know, imagine how he can power up, right? Like when he's getting his family all set. He's a great guy. Very good guy. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about this. You know, it's a very interesting thing. So the cabinet positions we're still getting those all filled out. I don't know. There hasn't been anyone else that's been suggested for AG yet. So we'll see. In the meantime, hold on, let me pull this up because we have a ton of other things to touch on as well. We're telling you about the California situation which is the tax situation, the businesses co-signing all of this is just unbelievable. The other thing, here's something I want to touch on. Did you hear about this story about this ballet dancer and a very, very vocal critic of Putin? He just happened to fall out of a building, Kane.
What? Accidentally?
Yeah. A renowned Russian ballet star, Vladimir Shikliarov.
Sounds right.
Right. He, 39 years old, he just happened to fall out of a fifth-story building in St. Petersburg.
Wow.
He was a, Shikliarov was a vocal, yeah, that's right. Shikliarov?
Yeah.
Has to be. S-H-K-L?
Sure.
Yeah. A vocal advocate for ending the war against Ukraine since its initial invasion in 22. And I'm sure he just pirouetted right out of the window by accident, right? He just foyted right out of the window by accident, right?
Do they not have building codes that keep like fifth story windows secure or something on the outside that would prevent like a full human body falling five stories?
Yeah. The Russian state media outlet, Novosti, reported that authorities had been investigating, you know, his death. They looked into Shikliarov's death, but the initial findings suggest it was totally accidental.
Really?
Yeah. Big critic of Putin over there. He was, yeah. Big critic of the war in Ukraine, big critic of all of it.
Have you, like, even on a first floor window, have you ever accidentally fallen out of a window?
No,
in your life, just like by accident?
No, never. But you know what? There's an ailment that's going around with the people. It's just very coincidental, Kane. A lot of the people who have been critical of Putin, they've gone through some untimely things.
Right.
Yeah.
Coincidental.
They've gone through some untimely stuff. They've had some issues. So I don't know. You know,
I've
it just
been
seems
around.
Very. He was a top ranking dancer at the Mariinsky Theater, and 39 years old. Like in a kind of a towards the end of his prime there as the dancer. When you're in ballet, you're old. If you're literally in your mid 30s, you're an old ancient dancer at that point. I did ballet for 18 years. I'm like, it's not where you really go to make a ton of money. It's just not.
I just look back because I've been around, you know, windows my whole life.
Kane is obsessed with it. You're right, Kane.
And I'm sure you have too. Probably you can't.
I've seen a lot of windows in my day.
I think pretty much every day of my life, I'm around windows.
Yep.
I have never
fallen out of
in
one
in my 52 years. Have fallen accidentally out of a
window.
Well,
like, what if you know this guy
even
was
if I was an infant.
He was in ballet. So what if you're doing some. Pirouettes. You're doing some.
Is that English?
Moves. Yeah, you do the little turns on
the
one leg.
Hell, you're talking
your
about.
Little pirouette where you put your toe behind your knee and then you turn on one foot. That's a pirouette.
I don't know about any of that stuff.
Yeah, like
I've
what?
Jumped on furniture as a kid, stuff like that. I mean, near windows.
What if you accidentally were performing a series of ballet movements and you just?
That sounds like those are coordinated movements that seem pretty controlled. I was a kid throwing myself onto furniture and off of furniture all the time near
windows. I bet you fell out of windows constantly.
Never did it.
You didn't.
Not once.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting how that is. Is the, maybe the windows are different over there.
Bigger.
Are they in the floor?
That would make more sense.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they are. I don't know. So apparently... They said that Shikliarov went out to the balcony to get some air before he lost his balance. I guess it was a little balcony. It sounds like a fire escape, one would maybe call that. I don't know. But, interesting how that happens, right? Very...
The ballet dancer lost what?
Balance. He lost his balance out there, yeah. The ballet dancer.
Lost.
A star dancer.
Of all the people to have balance in the world...
You would think.
It would be ballet.
The
dancers.
Ballet, yeah. You would think so.
But he lost balance.
This is Russia. Hmm. You know, I think maybe it's off the axis a little bit over there. I don't know. Well, maybe it contributed to it. I'm sure there's a completely reasonable explanation, right? Yeah. We have, we have more on the way.
Do your civic obligations end when you leave the voting booth? Actually, Pastor Alan Jackson thinks voting is the bare minimum you should be doing to help your country.
I don't think we can go back and sit in our lazy boy chairs and fold our arms and say, you have to fix this problem. I think we have to accept the responsibility. We have to accept the mandate for change that we went and voted for. We have to become the change.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up here, I'm going to pull this. An FBI arrested a homeless Florida man in an alleged plot to bomb the New York Stock Exchange. Okay. Harun Abdul Malik Yenner. You have too many names. Made a series of audio recordings that he wanted to send to NBC around the time of the bombing, according to the complaint. So he wanted to force a reset of the U.S. government. He came under scrutiny after he was someone tipped off the FBI that he was storing bomb-making schematics in a storage unit in Coral Springs. And they got his permission. They searched the unit, and they found all this stuff of drawings with landmines and explosives, missiles, all kinds of IEDs. And, yeah, he said he was creating rockets with volatile chemical mixtures that would explode if they were mixed incorrectly. You know what he kind of sounds like? So when I was a kid, I was little, I was like four. I would make, I was try to be a scientist, and I would mix up my mom's shampoo and conditioner and all kinds of weird stuff, her makeup, and in the little bowls. And I was like pretending that they were, it was my lab, but I didn't want to get caught, so I would shove everything under my bed. Right? I had all this weird stuff under my bed because it was my lab, right? I'd pull my lab out and I would be a scientist. I'm not even kidding you. And she was vacuuming my room one day and she was like, what is this mess under your bed? And I feel like it's Yenner's little storage thing. That's the, you know, I'm mixing up stuff, Mom, because I'm doing some science. That's what I was doing. I was doing science. Anyway, so yeah, he's this guy's in trouble. Mine actually couldn't blow up. I didn't really have a goal in mind, you know, and I was mixing up her various household like cosmetic items. I didn't have a goal in mind. It was just, you know. So, yeah, he was charged with the attempted use of an explosive to damage or destroy buildings, blah, 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 blah. He's in trouble. A Florida man found a $40,000 engagement ring and returned it. That's really nice of him. Yeah. How nice is that? That's like so nice. That never happens. He found this. He actually returned the thing. Isn't that nice? I'd read this story to you, but the Central Oregon Daily News, where it is such a horrible website with their stupid pop-up ads that their web team needs to be fired and dragged publicly behind horses through the streets because this is horrible. I mean, don't make a site that has so many pop-up ads and everything else that nobody can find the story. You morons. Anyway, that's nice that somebody found that. It was a Florida man. It found a $40,000 engagement ring. Another Florida man is suing Netflix because of the buffering that was taking place over the Paul Tyson fight. Thousands of people were upset, and now they want Netflix to pay up. There's a class action suit that's been filed. Maybe they shouldn't have spent so much money on that game show D-list suitcase chick and that ginger spare. How many millions did Netflix spend on those two losers that didn't even fulfill their contractual obligations or actually put any effort into towards creating content for Netflix? Maybe they could have used those funds, I don't know, to better stream the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. So they had major issues. So this lawsuit has been filed against them. And someone was saying it should have been on Amazon and not Netflix. I actually was surprised that it was on Netflix. Can I be honest? How did that happen? Netflix ended up getting it. It's wild. I don't know. But yeah, interesting. Also, let's see here. Got a few others for you as well to hit. So this Florida man said he was just being stupid. He got in trouble for allegedly shining a laser at a sheriff's helicopter. And if you ask me, was this Florida man shirtless, Dana? Why, yes. Yes, he was. He was shirtless out into the woods, just randomly shining these green lasers at a Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office helicopter. Aerial video shows Cody Goodenough, 36. He was hiding behind a mobile home wearing a pair of red shorts and nothing else. And when deputies were guided to his location and asked why he did it, he said he was, quote, just being stupid. Now he's facing a count of misuse of a laser lighting device. I mean, who does that? You're out there, just out there in your red britches, you know, out there standing, hiding in the woods, and you're going to point up your laser device to the sheriff's chopper Who does this?
Plus, we've seen how many stories have we had of this where they the end result is always they get arrested.
Yes.
Always.
Always, always, always. Like, you're never not going to get arrested for that. I don't know. Like, why? I don't know. It amazes me. I don't know. And let's see. We've had this story before. This one. We had the Trump banner sign. There's a couple of them I'm going to have to save for you tomorrow. For tomorrow, because it's going to take some time to go through some of the charges in some of these. There's a couple that they were the lords of misrule, so to speak, and they're bigger stories than I can get to in the 20 seconds we have remaining. We have another hour on the way. Law and order, the fight over who's going to be what in the cabinet, and so much more. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this third hour on this Thursday in approximately 1 week. It's going to be Thanksgiving, aka Turkey Day, aka Day of Thanks, aka it's me doing a turkey. You want to hear it again? It's totally what they sound like. I bet some hunter like was like, I heard a turkey just then, right? It sounded legit. Oh, make sure. I'm somewhat joking. You can also find us over at Substack if you're not watching on channel 347 DirecTV. You can also listen terrestrially. Do you know that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are doing a Doge cast for the Department of Government Efficiency? Okay. Is this going to, like, are we going to get the nitty gritty of people crying when you cut them? I mean, like, their positions from government? Because I'm all for that, right? They're going to be, Doge is so mean. It's so mean. I saw this headline over at the Babylon Bee, and it's actually not that wrong. It says, before Doge cuts funding, NIH is working feverishly to complete study on the effects of giving meth to jetpack-wearing hamsters. What? And now all the scientists at NIH were like, damn it, we didn't think of giving them jetpacks. I love it. That's so great. This is their man. Deep state is not going to like them. The bureaucratic mess is not going to like these guys. They're not going to be fans of them at all because they're talking about cutting legit everything. I'm here for that. They said they're going to defund they need to defund it. Some of what they said, they have an op-ed over at the Wall Street Journal. You got it in your prep. If you're a subscriber to Chapter and Verse, you get the radio prep that I send out every day. And you have the op-ed in there. It's very insightful because they said that it kind of gives me Wolf's vibes, you know, that George Clooney, Brad Pitt. But they said they want to cut it down to size. They're doing things differently as entrepreneurs, not politicians. And so they're calling for reductions, commiserate with the reductions in rules and regulations. They're looking at everything from PBS to Planned Parenthood. They said that they're going to end federal overspending. They're going to look at the $500 billion plus in annual federal expenditures Congress authorizes, $535 million a year to, again, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, $1.5 billion for grants to for international organizations, $300 million to groups like Planned Parenthood. I mean, if they actually are able to make this happen. Now, here's the catch, because I've talked about the Planned Parenthood defunding. They got $670 million from the government last year. Planned Parenthood did. Yeah. That's your tax dollars that are going towards, and then they fund Democrats. So your tax dollars are funding Democrats. It's wild, but that's what they're doing. So this, this caveat to all of this is that Doge is an entity that it is outside of the government, so they don't need to go through Senate confirmation or anything like that. It's outside of the government, but they can make these recommendations. They make these recommendations. Congress is going to have to adopt them. And this is why it's incredibly important to maintain as large of a majority in the House as possible. And these special elections take time. So for the House seats, when you're pulling from the House for the cabinet, it takes time. So that's why you don't want to kneecap it right out of the gate. You know, you want to make sure that you have these positions full, these seats occupied so that you can get this your agenda through as quickly as possible. So that's actually a good, that's a very interesting, approach. Now, however quickly Congress wants to take this up, I mean, that's what remains to be seen. If they're able to get Congress to take this up and you actually get these cuts passed through and Trump to sign it, that's wild. That's wild. Because they're going to have to, it's going to be an audit. It's going to be an audit, and then they have to make these recommendations. And they're not taking checks, and they want to be done by the 26th. By or before July 26th. So these are all good things. I'm fine with us. These are great. So that's a good start. Very good start. Now, a couple of other things. I have to tell you this story because I am just blown away by this. And then we're going to get into some of this other stuff. Do you guys remember this story about the art festival that takes place in Miami? It's called Art Basel. Basel in Miami. So back in 2019, there was this, I don't know if you want to call it artwork. Is it artwork or performance? I don't know. This dude duct taped a banana to just a plain white wall of the museum. And it sold, just sold for 6 point something million at auction. It sold yesterday at auction. So the art installation, so to speak, was just a banana duct taped to a wall. And Maurizio Catalan's comedian is what they called it. A banana stuck to the wall with a strip of silver duct tape. And it, they thought it was going to sell when it went to auction. It debuted at Art Basel, Miami in 2019. And they thought it was going to sell for $1.5 million, according to Sotheby's. I don't know. I'm trying to, I can draw better than the banana up taped to a wall. And it doesn't even have to be the same banana. Listen to this. This is what they, this is how they describe it over at Sotheby's. Ready? Okay. There you see. No other artwork from the 21st century has provoked scandal, sparked imagination, and upended the very definition of contemporary art, like Maurizio Catalan's Comedian, whose debut at Art Basel Miami Beach in December 2019 captivated the world. Now, with an estimate of $1 to $1.5 million, this viral sensation is making history once again as it heads to auction at Sotheby's Now and Contemporary Evening Sale. Would you like to know about your potential purchase? It is comprised of a banana fastened to a wall with duct tape, hung exactly 160 centimeters from the floor. Comedian belongs to the rare league of artworks that need no introduction. Yeah, I think they do. Oh my gosh. You know why it's controversial? Because it's stupid. And they can sit here and subscribe all, they can ascribe all these things to it. Oh, it's sardonic. It's this or that. It's money laundering. It's money laundering. Absolutely. That's what this is. So it didn't sell for $1.5 million. This thing sold for $6.24 million. So how do you know it's, what are you buying when you buy it? Couldn't you just get your own duct tape and tape your own banana to the wall in your own home? How would anyone know that it's not Maurizio Catalan's Comedian? Right? True. He didn't, it's like a literal banana. An actual real banana. And one, just some duct tape.
One that will go bad.
Well, yeah, they got to keep replacing it. Why couldn't you just do this in your own house? Because think of it. The components to the piece are already there. There's no way that the banana is affixed to the wall. There's no way in which the duct tape is applied that changes any kind of movement or mood to the piece. None at all whatsoever. In fact, even where it's located makes it entirely arbitrary as to how it's to be viewed because it's on a white wall in a brightly lit museum. What if it's in your home on your wall and you have all the other different, you know, mood lighting? Then it changes, right? Does it not change? It becomes more ludicrous, I think, even in that context. So this is dumb. This is so dumb. If you want to give someone a great gift and you can tell them that it's a replica of a almost $1 million piece of art, you can say this is a replica of Maurizio Catalan's Comedian and just give someone, guys, this is your naughty Santa gift right here. I'm helping you all out. All y'all that go to these Christmas parties and you guys do these goofy gifts, we do them in our family. You get a banana and you get some silver duct tape and you can be like, no, this is a replica of a $6.24 million piece of art by Maurizio Catalan called Comedian. And literally just do it. Get a piece of like a styrofoam board and tape it to the styrofoam board, an actual banana with duct tape. And then just like put a little label and like glue it in the corner. Look, I got your Naughty Santa gift for you right there. It actually does work. It's a piece of art, right? It's expensive.
Is it White Elephant or Naughty Santa?
I don't know. We've only ever done Naughty Santa.
I don't think Naughty Santa is the thing.
Yeah, it's like the Naughty Santa game.
Okay.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Isn't that what it's called?
I'm just speaking out loud.
What is it called?
I thought it was like a White Elephant type
thing. I don't understand what that is.
It's like
there are no white elephants. They're all gray.
Just like there's no real art that involves a real banana.
What does this piece evoke in you? What are your thoughts when you look at this piece? Banana pudding and morons. That's what I think.
Smoothie ingredient.
How is this not money laundering? And also, Hunter's probably going, damn it. Hunter Biden's out there just kicking himself that he didn't tape some fruit to a wall.
Please tell me you
He's
read.
Like real man.
Please tell me you read the follow up that in the reply that NBC story put under it in their words. Please tell me you saw that.
Oh, that's next. So wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you need to jump the gun. Sorry.
Oh no. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I was getting ahead of myself. I'm glad you brought that up. So here we go. So the guy who bought it, his name is Justin Sun. He's a cryptocurrency investor.
No.
What?
No.
Everything just screams money laundering. He spent $6.2 million on a regular banana duct taped to the wall, right? Yeah. You could say that the artwork is appealing. I hate myself now. So what does this do to the price of bananas, by the way?
Oh, man.
Right? Anyway, so he bought it. And it's, again, Maurizio Catalan's Comedian. He battled six other morons to launder their money through this banana tape to a wall thing. And he paid in crypto, of course. And he said, quote, in the coming days, I will personally eat the banana as part of this unique autistic experience.
Autistic?
He is going to eat the banana. He's going to eat it. What in the world? I don't know, man. So he's going to eat it. He's spending all that money. He's laundering. Let's
see.
So
what we get for a dollar, $1.20.
So what if I can make you a banana duct taped to the wall and only charge you $2 million for it?
That sounds like a deal.
I'm saying it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same tape, the exact same nanner.
Yeah.
Right? And I was looking at this is how lazy this is. Because obviously they have to change the banana out, right? In some of these installations, because they got the banana rots and it's just nasty. The stem of the banana is cut differently. Sometimes it's a slanted cut. Sometimes it's cut straight across, like the image that Juan is showing on the simulcast. That's not even consistent. They're not even being consistent in the stem or even the angle of the tape. It's literally just half-ass taping fruit to a wall. I hate everything. But this is money laundering because there's no other reason. There's no other reason for this. This is why I hate modern art. I really do. I reject modernity, embrace tradition. I hate modern art. All right, we got to move.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Crews are working to remove profane traffic signs. They're working hard, says News 9. The city's transportation, what city is this? Boulder. The transportation staff for the city of Boulder, they were dispatched to city streets on a very special mission Tuesday afternoon to remove illegally posted traffic signs in four locations. The signs use some choice words for drivers, asking them to put their cell phones down, avoid distracted driving, and obey the posted speed limit. The signs are interesting. They say things like, speed limit's 35, get off your damn phone. That's what they say, the signs. Speed limit 45, don't kill any kids today. They said they were aware of these illegal signs at a number of locations. I actually don't find anything wrong with these signs, Kane. You know, I mean, they message the urgency of driving the speed limit and putting down one's phone.
I agree.
That's what they said. They said a lot of work went into installing the signs, so putting them up is just as tedious as taking them down. They hope that someone spots the suspect and can call the police. Apparently, it's called criminal tampering. It's an actual incident, a legal thing. Is there really anything wrong with it? I don't know. I don't think there is. They're not saying anything. They're actually underlining the law that's posted. Look at that. Nearly 180 pounds of illegally harvested mushrooms were seized by Washington Fish and Wildlife. How is it illegally harvested? Well, see, you picked it leaning over your right side, and you got to pick it leaning over your left side. That's what you got to do. 5 gallons of wild edible mushroom. Oh, you got to have a permit. The forest has to give you a permit to go and pick its mushrooms. Landowner permission is required to possess smaller quantities. I'm coming back to the story because this is so stupid. This is literally, it's one thing if you're trespassing, but I don't think that's what this was. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast. Your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. I saw this tweet and I had to retweet it. It was from Elon Musk talking about the Senate stuff with Gates and that. And it kind of makes a good point about red flag law, because he goes, are we a country that believes in innocence until proven guilty, or are we not? And he was noting how the Biden DOJ, looking at these, potential crimes by Gates and, they having, leaks to the press, et cetera, et cetera. But I made mention, look, this is, just want to point this out again, this is exactly why it's important to oppose red flag laws, because they completely, absolutely demand guilt until innocence is proven. That's what red flag laws do. So now maybe more people will, kind of get on board with that and understand it. But it's pretty amazing. I was also looking at, let me pull this up, because this was a few things. This had to go in with this story that I was telling you about with California, how they defaulted on this big pandemic loan, their unemployment insurance. And now, unbeknownst to them, all of these small businesses are inadvertently co-signed for this loan. And now they're getting hit with a tax for it. And it's even wilder. So gas regulations in California, there's this study that came out, and I saw it from the California Senate Minority Leader, a state lawmaker. It was a study from USC's Marshall School of Business, and they were looking at Gavin Newsom's gas regulations. In 2025, Californians are going to be forced to pay nearly 90 cents more per gallon for regular fuel because of his regulations. The increase, the staggering increase, he notes, includes a recent 65-cent gas price hike, mandates to withhold the gasoline supply from the market, and refinery closures caused by over-regulation. And for the average person driving a gas-powered car, that's going to be about an additional, they're estimating between $600 to $1,000 in pre-tax income just to break even. So they're punishing, by price gouging, people who are driving these cars. They're punishing them. Yeah. Because people like the Newsoms, they're always going to be able to afford the stuff. They're always going to be able to afford these gas prices. They're always going to be able to afford those increases. Pretty wild. So it's like a sin tax. It's like they're treating it like a sin tax and trying to tax you into submission. That's the whole purpose of it. It is really wild. I was looking, remember this. This is just crazy. They said that they've done a couple of other studies too, looking at the estimated retail prices increasing by 65 cents a gallon in 2025, 85 cents a gallon in 2030. By 2035, it'll be $1.50 increase price a gallon, per gallon. And that was from the University of Pennsylvania Climate Center for Energy Policy. Wow. That's pretty crazy. So I keep all this stuff, just in a readily accessible place in your brain, because you're going to need it come 28, because that's who they're running. They're running him. Guarantee it. they will run him. It'll be like a Newsom Klobuchar or a Newsom Whitmer ticket. That's what they're going to do. So they're going to run him. But keep all this in mind. Remember what he did to Fast Rail? This. Now how payroll taxes are exponentially higher than they were previously because of this. It's just crazy. Because they've defaulted on their loan. It's all big government. And big government, this is why I hope Doge can get to work sooner rather than later. This is why big government has got to be stopped. Now, one of the other things that in terms of price and everything else, let me hit a couple things here. So this, where was this at? I just pulled this up. The tariffs thing, like I said, we're going to talk about that as we get closer to January. The tariffs, this is going to be a thing that might divide the right a little bit. The tariff issue. I think it depends on what part of the spectrum you fall on. Are you more libertarian? Or are you more Republican? One of the things you could say that Javier Milei just did, and they saw a huge boost in, they've got actually, he lifted tariffs. Let me pull this story up. I saw this in Argentina. They just posted their 11th straight surplus, $888 million trade surplus in October of 24. They rebounded from a $442 million deficit last year. Their exports soared by 30%, fueled by manufacturing, fueled by agriculture, and their imports grew at almost 5%. This is from Trading Economics. Now, one of the reasons why this happened is he did lift tariffs. However, you could argue that they're a little different over there. They're both countries, yes, but at the same time, isn't the USA kind of treated a little bit differently than Argentina, especially in some of these other markets? So I think that that has to be taken into consideration. However, you do have to be careful with tariffs, though. They do slow trade. They can absolutely lower your output economically. It's not something that fast tracks you to prosperity, but they are different. They are a little different. And this is something that we just have to be careful with. But it is, again, because I see a lot of people comparing Argentina and the United States. They are two very different countries. They're starting out at two very different places. And other countries with whom we both do trade treat Argentina differently than the United States is treated. So that needs to be taken into consideration, methinks. We were covering the Gates thing as well. And I'll probably have a write-up later about that over at Substack for all of you. The other story, and this is getting as much, it's starting to get more and more coverage. This knife-wielding guy in New York who stabbed a bunch of people. This was carried out by this guy, Ramon Rivera, in broad daylight Monday, 51 years old. People were just shocked about it. He killed a 36-year-old construction worker, got stabbed in the stomach, which is sad. I mean, it's, you know, and the guy he killed worked real hard and, you know, he said his family is there. The second victim was a 67-year-old. He was fishing in the East River. He was stabbed to death. This guy went wild. The third victim, a 36-year-old, stabbed near the UN building, succumbed to her wounds. The hospital. The guy is an illegal immigrant who lived in a nearby shelter where they put people who enter the country illegally and they hold them in New York. He's a Haitian immigrant who came in and that he was there frequently at the shelter. What in the world? Can you imagine? There were a lot of people saying, why didn't anyone intervene, especially in the instance where it was in broad daylight and so many other people were around? Well, remember, the last person that did that is on trial for murder now, Daniel Penny. They're saying that as far as that case goes, that he is. And by the way, the guy who was doing all the stabbing, they're just letting him go. I mean, he was able to walk. He's out for good behavior, the guy who committed triple murder. He's been arrested 8 times before, by the way. It sounds really similar to that case that they're trying to get, the Jordan Neely case. But people had asked, well, why did anyone step up? because they saw what happened to Daniel Penny. They saw the state lie and try to omit evidence. For instance, how Neely wasn't actually dead. He wasn't dead. He wasn't killed by Daniel Penny. The guy was on drugs, according to the forensics or the toxicology report. He had a history of violence. He had a history of drug use. He wasn't in the best shape health-wise. He was threatening to kill people. And they're acting like, well, he should have been allowed to kill this woman and her baby. It's what he wanted. I mean, that's what these people defending him are acting like. But it's complete lawlessness and disorder. This dude has such a long criminal history. This guy went on the stabbing spree. New York Post has a rundown of the guy's greatest hits. Nobody knows why he was on the streets still. He was arrested. He had a petty larceny charge the same day. He stole, or the day of his release, sorry. He stole a $1,500 acrylic bowl from a shop in Tribeca, the Jonathan Adler shop. They told him to go back in court. He has 8 arrests. He has a history of mental health issues. He has a history of police run-ins that cross numerous states. I mean, he's a violent dude. A very violent guy, a violent and unsafe person. And when he was in May, he was in Bellevue's psych ward. And then he assaulted a corrections officer there. He was supposed to have gotten a 364-day sentence. And then he had a 90-day term that he was supposed to serve concurrently because of burglary. I mean, this guy has a record. You get the idea. But they let him go. I know I asked earlier, why would anybody want to live in California? How would anybody want to live in New York at this point? Unbelievable.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Make sure you find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff out there. And of course, YouTube and Facebook and all those good things. Byron Donald says that he was asked, I guess, on CNN about joining the Trump cabinet. The way that the Washington Examiner states, Donald says he's not surprised at being left out of Trump's cabinet, hints at future plans. He wants to run for governor because DeSantis terms out. This is his last term as governor. He terms out, and Donald's is... I mean, it's not like it's a secret. He wants to go for governor. Gates wanted to go for governor too. I think the stuff with the House seat and all that just kind of complicated it a little bit. But there's a little competition there between Gates and Donald. So he wants to go for governor. Gates wants to go for governor. Gates' father serves in the state senate there in Florida. Their family is they lived in the Truman House in Seaside. That's right there on 30A. It's a real nice part of Florida, really pretty part. Everybody goes there. I mean, it's a hot vacation spot. It's always packed in the summer. But he says that he is not surprised at being left out of the cabinet. Like, it's not something he was going for. But he thinks, you know, he's hinting at future plans. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes, because he currently holds a congressional seat. But it's well known that he's got his eyes on governor at some point, so we'll see. But he's got options. He's got a lot of other options. So that's not a huge thing, at least in my perspective. Also, a couple things as we roll towards the weekend. This cabinet picks continue, and then we've got. I know that they're still going over the Hegseth thing, which I think is not going to be an issue at all whatsoever. I've said that a million times. It's not going to be an issue. I really don't think it will be. This other story, we talked about it yesterday, the Chinese vessel that was accused of hitting comms cables in the Baltic, and it was confronted by that Danish naval vessel. I don't know if the Danish vessel boarded the Chinese cargo ship, because that would be really a serious escalation. I don't know if that... Reuters didn't really confirm that. I've not really seen a lot of sources that say that. But the Chinese cargo ship was accused of purposely cutting these comms cables. And the cargo ship was saying that nothing was intended. It could have been that they had anchor dropped and like rode over them. I mean, there's, you know, you could maybe potentially have that happen. But the crazy thing is that it was a Chinese vessel with a Russian captain, and it came from Russia. And then this happened. I don't know. It's weird, right? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
walks like a duck, talks like a duck. It's probably a Chinese-Russian, you know, bad guy team up, right? I don't know. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. But all this stuff is happening. You have the U.S. approving Ukraine's use of mines, U.S. approving the use of our long-range missiles inside of Russia. And then yesterday, Biden gives the Medal of Freedom to Cecile Richards, former Planned Parenthood president. That's what he did yesterday. Gave her the Medal of Freedom. This is for killing all them babies, Cecile. You get this as your baby-killing medal. That's what he gave her. He gave her a big old baby-killing medal. She got that. I mean, all hell's breaking loose, and this is what he's doing. We haven't really seen him. Kamala Harris is in Hawaii doing heaven knows what. Yeah, she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. How many babies did you have to nix to get that medal? I'm curious. So we have no idea what POTUS is doing. But all hell's breaking loose because of what was going on in the Baltic. All this is happening. We have no idea. It's just crazy. So we'll... He was doing that. I don't know when Kamala Harris is supposed to come back. She might not. I guess they didn't have that much work to do. She could just go on vacation and just leave everything so easily. She wasn't even there to be the tie-breaking vote if it was required over that 11th Circuit appointment. And Republicans could have showed up and they could have ended it because she wasn't there. Fetterman was out for different reasons. So they could have easily outmaneuvered Democrats on that and they didn't do it. Unbelievable. So that's where... That's where it all is. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe we'll see. But so far, I don't know. Well, not too happy about some of these Senate developments. Okay, tomorrow's Friday, and we're going to get you set up for the weekend. And then, of course, next week is Thanksgiving. So next weekend, I'll be with you Monday, Tuesday. And then we've got our family that we see like once or twice a year coming in, and we always, you know, we have a good, fun Thanksgiving. So we'll get you set up for the holiday weekend as well. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
All right, boy, there was so much to pull from. HHS Secretary Becerra couldn't answer how kids ended up in the care of someone under the address of a strip club. But anyway, that's incredibly stupid. Juan, cut 14. This is our sec def, Lloyd Austin, on the Pete Hegseth comment that women in combat, it's not really helpful. Listen to this.
They do impact readiness. They make us better. They make us stronger.
What?
And again, what I've seen from our women is quite incredible.
Yes, and we're not denying that women that serve this country aren't incredible people. That's no one is saying that.
And he didn't say anything about helicopter pilots either. He's saying that they need to not be in combat with dudes like spec op teams. You know, sending out
by no measurement does it make us better. Unfortunately.
That's so dumb, the misrepresentation of what they do. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I send out lots of good stuff from up there. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.